Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks. There is some concern in Leafland that we see that we're going to get into a little bit in this show. And but after back-to-back wins versus the Hawks and the Wings, things are looking at least a little bit more positive in Leafland.
Yes, I definitely agree. And it was good to see them, you know, basically push through and get a couple of tough wins. Maybe not the way we 100% would have liked to see, but it's a step in the right direction. So to start off the show today, we want to make a correction and an apology to our anniversary contest winner, Lauren Stewart. In our last show, we referred to Lauren as a she, but Lauren is actually a he. Lauren was really good about it and said it was fine. Obviously explained how it happens often with unisex names and especially online when we actually don't see the person. So, but still, we want to make sure that we always give accurate information on our show. So again, so sorry, Lauren, and we did make it right for you because we did send you your gift and he seemed to like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he really did. And the gift, so sorry from myself as well for that mistake. We really, really should check regardless of the unisex name. But he was very happy with his prize pack, which included a Tim's card and some cool Leaf items. So keep listening because we hope to have another giveaway for the holiday season.
Absolutely. So, you know, we want to get the Christmas season off right. And we're probably going to have something else for you coming down the pike. So, okay, with that business out of the way, there's been quite a lot of talk about the All or Nothing Amazon series, which we personally have not touched upon yet. We've both watched it. And so we just want to share what we took from it. So, Chris, what were your impressions on the series?
Yeah, so, I mean, it actually wasn't, I mean, it was bad, like, I would say episode 5, Leafs Nation, you got to prepare yourself for that one, for the final episode. Make sure you're in a right frame of mind, obviously, to watch, I guess, obviously, they go through the playoff loss to Montreal. But a couple of things stood out to me, really, were the way they treated Freddie. I just don't think it actually proved to me that they didn't give him a fair chance to get back in the net. Mm-hmm. And they were just like clearly, I think it was more from Dubas actually, but Dubas and Keith, they didn't have any confidence in him coming back from that injury. I don't know. I just saw that and especially I would think it was in episode 4 when he was ready to come back for that last, he was going to play the last, regular season game, one of them, and they just didn't seem to give Freddie a positive frame of mind either. So there was that part of it, and then the other part of it was with Sheldon Keefe himself. I was besides every word being the F word, I thought it was quite interesting that how he worked with individual players and as a group as well, and just holding the players accountable, even Austin Matthews at the start of the show. So that was good. And but I can see the way they say a lot of the media are saying now, like this last first couple of weeks of the season, it's kind of like a hangover from that, from that loss, and that's stuck in their mind. And that's why Marner isn't having, or the whole team basically, but everyone's focusing on Mitch Marner. And I think actually what I think they should do is instead show the players the passion returns. Yeah. We both have a copy of that video. Yeah. So I think it would be much better if they watch that instead in order to change their frame of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what do you think of it?
I have to agree with you on the Freddy front. One thing that actually really stood out to me is how he was, it's like he was already off the team for episode five. Yeah. It's like he was not part of it at all.
No.
You know, like I just was really kind of, that really sort of stuck in my mind. I do see that Keefe and Dubas have this good cop, bad cop kind of thing, you know, between the two of them. Like, you know, Keefe seems to be the real push, push, push guys, and Dubas seems to be the, you know, sit guys down and talk to them and see how they're feeling guy. So, they definitely have this partnership where they kind of work together in this way.
It was interesting. Didn't you think it was interesting when they were making the decision about who was going to start for the playoffs?
Yeah.
And I think it was definitely Dubas that said to
Keefe,
for once you made the right decision. I'm still trying to think, was he actually meaning to say it that way to him?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think because they also showed that is a Bill Belichick-ism, and he brought that up, and they made a point to show Dubas in another shot, like in a totally different part where there's a Bill Belichick picture of him, I think, in his office. So I think he's kind of a little like Bill Belichick is obviously somebody who's inspired him. And so I think that's kind of part of where that comes from. But that's one of the things that I kind of really noticed. Another thing that stood out to me is what a big role Spezza has on this team. Like beyond what he does on the ice, like you could really see in the room how important he is as far as somebody who speaks up, who has taught these guys some things and about, you know, what it means to be a pro. So I'm just super happy that they decided to keep him around because I think he actually is an important person for this team.
Yeah. One last thing that before we move on, but
no, I got one more thing to say actually too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to stop you. But no, I like their little in the room. I like their Stanley Cup thing. Their little Stanley Cup.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I actually think they should get rid of that thing because to me, it's only good if you're already a team that's established and got over that first hump. Because to me, I'm thinking they had to sit there and stare at that gaping hole for three games that they couldn't fill. I honestly think they should throw that thing out.
Now because it didn't work out.
No,
very well.
I mean, at first I saw it, I thought, oh, that's a really cute idea. But then I thought, no, now they have that three pucks in there and that fourth one that they just couldn't fill that gaping hole.
Anyhow, so before we get into the show, we want to just ask a favor of our listeners. So after listening to the show, if you could just take the time to give us a review. Your feedback is important to us and will help our show get more recognition as a place to go to for Leaf content.
That's right. So please definitely do that. Anyway, so let's get started with the show. We're obviously going to start with our good, the bad, and the ugly for this last 2-week segment. And then we're going to roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel, and we will end off with the third period. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right, the good, the bad, the ugly. Woo-hoo. This is going to be fun. So actually, there wasn't too much good until Friday, at least for me. Morgan Rielly signing, that's my good. 8 years, $7.5 million, average annual value. And I like to see this move. Finally, Kyle Dubas has signed somebody that was a pending UFA. And it's just nice to see our own draft pick choose to stay with us and take a bit of a discount as well. And I actually think his signing is going to get us going as a team. I mean, it might have already started with these. I mean, obviously they won against Chicago on Wednesday before the signing, but I don't know. I just think he's an important leader in the room, and he's already the longest serving Leaf. And if he goes the full 8 years, like, he could even go after George Armstrong's record for most games played as a Leaf. So, and I don't know. He probably should have been named captain when that decision was supposed to be was made, or at least I'm sure he was given consideration. Sort of, but yeah, I don't know. I really like the deal, and I think I mean he's only 27. A lot of people are saying, you know, what's it going to look like at the end of the 8 years, or like maybe like year 6 to 8, but we need defense now, sir. And he's a puck moving defenseman. He would have got way north of $8.5 probably million on the market. Yeah. So I don't know. I think you agree with me.
I definitely do agree with you. And I would say too that like the fact that Dubas did sign him early on, I think that says something about their priorities also. You know, Riley is a true blue Leaf. Like, and there's something even going back to that, the Amazon series, you know, like that's one thing I noticed. He's always the one, the last person
yes.
to yell yeah. out, go white or yeah. go blue before they yeah. get out on the ice. So
I was
there's
that.
Something about so, that, right? And
I was thinking when we go to a game, we have yeah. to say, let's go blue.
Go blue.
Right. And then at home when we're, yeah. or if we're on the road with them, we got to go, let's go white.
Yeah, absolutely. So 100%, I think that it's a fantastic deal for us. He is a true blue Maple Leaf. He is the longest serving Leaf. I think he, you know, we all know now for sure. He signed on the dotted line. He wants to be here, and he could have got more, and he probably knows that, but this is home, like what he said. So I'm not worried about him, you know, not being fit down the road, because he's always been one of the fittest Leafs on the team from the very beginning. I think he takes good care of himself. So, you know, we'll see. And hopefully by then he'll have a pedigree of winning, you know, yeah. to pass on to our future teams going forward. So
that's for sure.
Anyway,
so what's your good though?
My good, I'm going to say Chippy Mitch Marner. So since he got his teeth caved in, somehow that kind of lit him up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe getting his teeth fixed and stuff. Yeah, he's liking what he sees in the mirror. I don't know. But I think that he has played a lot better. He looks a lot more like his old self. He's being a little bit more creative. I like the fact that they put him back with Tavares again and mix things up like that. They're getting to play together a little bit more. So hopefully they can continue building on some of their chemistry there. So I think that he has looked a lot better over the last few games, and I want to see obviously the it going in the net more for him. It was really great to see that yesterday. And yeah, so I'm going to give him some love and say that Mitch is my man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good for Mitch to get the garbage goal and versus the Red Wings.
Honestly,
basically,
that's what they got to focus on, getting a lot of garbage goals right now, because I do think that is part of their Achilles heel. Like we always hear right now, when they lose, they've gotten goalied by every freaking goalie in the league. They can't all be freaking superstars. I think that they do not adjust well when somebody's shutting the door on them. So that's what they need to work on, finding ways to get some trash in front of the net. So, that's basically what happened to us in that final series too, is that basically Carey Price shut the door and then we just couldn't get anything past him. Yeah. And it gets in our head and they just can't freaking find a way to park themselves in front of there and get some garbage in there.
Yeah. It was just nice to see Mitch too. He was smiling. Like that's how you know that that's he's getting back to who he's supposed to be. He needs to that's be right. smiling when he's playing. And yeah, like just some of the plays that he makes, they said on the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast, like this goal that I believe he got an assist on it. I'm not sure. I think, no, he didn't get the assist. That's right. But they said that basically he's the guy that did everything on the play on Tavares' goal. And even like he did like at the blue line going into the O-zone, he did the like the stutter step sort of to get, and he stayed onside and then to pass it off to Tavares. And like only, like they said, only elite players can do that kind of thing, that kind of play, right? So you can tell that he's getting his mojo back, basically, which is what we want.
So hopefully it stays that way.
Yes, exactly. It's only a couple of games because he played well in Chicago as well, but at least it's positive. Right. So so now moving on to the bad. So for the bad, I had JT actually as the bad. And it wasn't really, I mean, originally it was because of a little bit of both, two things, his play and his role as the captain of the team. But his play has obviously the last couple of games, again, it's improved because we're recording this on the Sunday in case you in case the listeners out there are wondering. But yeah, his play, he's definitely like he got the goal on Wednesday night versus the Hawks. And then last night he had a goal and two assists. So he seems to be going, both him and Marner, basically, hopefully that tandem starts to click again like it did a couple of seasons ago. But I want to see more of that where John Tavares just, he's a quiet cat, obviously a quiet leader, similar in the way like Mats, I guess. But Mats, I have to say, like during his time here, he was like, he showed more consistency, I think, with the points and leading the team on the ice with his offense, I think. But then it was a different time then, obviously. But in the role of the captain, I just think I would like to see Tavares, like this last little while where the Leafs Nation has just been like going insane the last couple of weeks, like maybe he could have came out when he speaks to the media and kind of deflect some of the criticism like off of Mitch, like maybe just say some things to like send some positivity into like even to the even to his teammates, right? Like even for Mitch personally or even the defense because they're having problems as well, which we're going to get into. I don't know. I just think there's a little bit that he could do more that way. I know it's now all teams say it's like a leadership group, but with the Leafs, it's a little bit different being the captain, in my opinion. You got to I don't know. He has to me, I would like to just see a little bit more of him speaking about, like to deflect some of the criticism, I guess, on the team so that he can try and calm down. I mean, some people won't calm down on Leafs Nation. They're just gonna ream on the team constantly and it doesn't matter. It's just words basically, right? Is what they're gonna say. But for me, I like to hear that something from our captain.
I agree with you there, but I actually do think that the media has a part to play in that piece because they don't hold him accountable. They don't ask him tough questions like that. And I just remember how they used to, and I don't know if because of FNUF is, you know, wasn't a good speaker or what, but they used to just grill him after games and purposely make him look bad, you know? And I recall, too, that they would ask Mats tough questions and then and Mats would always have his big sigh before he answered the question. But I kind of find that they somehow give him a free pass. They don't ask him those tough questions. And I don't know if it's part of it is because of the COVID thing and it's all the Zoom stuff and they don't actually get that FaceTime with the players as much. But they actually don't force him to be accountable either. So it's one thing for, because mostly they're answering questions, but I agree with you. He's the captain. So at some point he could come out and say, you know,
it's almost like the way you're saying it's almost like they're feeding off the media is feeding off the energy from Leafs Nation and just going after Marner basically, because that's all Leafs Nation is talking about on social media right now. And nobody's really talking about Tavares at all, yeah. sort of thing. And it's and like, Matthews is kind of getting a free pass because he missed all of training camp.
Yeah. And right? because so he's kinda, because he's him. So and everyone he's knows him, he's yeah. going to come back okay and he's going to be fine. But
yeah.
But yeah, I just but you're right. He is so quiet that he just flies under the radar in a way.
Yeah.
But I do think that he could do more even on the ice, you know, showing more emotion. And I think we started to yeah. see that. And I did find it was funny that on the broadcast they mentioned, because he's Matt Molson's, child's godparent, that Matt Molson texted him and said, you know, you could smile a little bit more after you score. So, you know, yeah. even with that, because that's the one thing Matt's always did. Like he had that big smile. Yes. After oh, for sure. scored,
yeah.
You know, so yeah. even as quiet as he was and not as non-demonstrative, he wasn't, I don't think he's as robotic as Tavares seems sort of to be.
Yes,
so
yeah.
he can learn to grow into this and be more, because I do agree with you that being a captain of the Leafs team is not the same as being captain of the Islanders. You need to be more.
Yeah.
Because you're representing a storied original six franchise. Yeah. So bottom line.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's your bad?
My bad is the power play. Man, like I don't know how. I just think, again, like it still goes back to the mental aspect, but I don't know how we could be in the bottom third of the league still with this, with the players that we have. It's ridiculous. That whole thing with Mitch with the bumper thing doesn't seem to be working, because again, I think he's got to think too much about where he needs to be or whatever. I why
no, but now they've but now the last couple of games they switched him back to the flank.
Yeah, right? I know.
So but I mean, even though it's still not working.
But the yeah. other part of the problem with the power play is how many have we had? You can probably count them on one hand. Yeah. Less than five per game. Like we're not drawing penalties. How are you supposed to get good at them when you're not having time to practice them in game? Like they need to be drawing penalties.
Penalties somehow. Yes. Yeah, I know. And it's interesting though, too, the second unit. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. They seem to get a lot more.
I guess they're more relaxed or something, but they seem to be getting a lot more chances, and they've scored a couple of power play goals. Yeah. But
then the other thing too is they have Sandin on that unit, and I mm-hmm. do think that he is definitely a huge asset on the power play just because of how he is along the blue line there and getting shots through. But,
yeah, but still,
I mean,
when you have yeah,
no,
the top
I mean that's
four,
not an excuse,
no
and I don't think that he's like the whole reason. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So I just, they have to get it going somehow. Like,
yeah.
again, they need to get some garbage goals in there too.
They need to find ways to get it in.
Yeah.
yeah
because I'm just
traffic.
Tired of this whole being goalied thing, because that's just bull crap, yeah. in my opinion. Sorry, we are a clean show.
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they've been through, obviously, now this is their third power play coach they're going to be going
yeah.
through.
So,
in
not
some
the
ways,
coaching.
No. In some ways, I just wish Keefe would just say, you know what? You guys draw it up. You tell yeah. us sort of thing, right? Maybe mm-hmm. he's already tried that, because mm-hmm. you can see the frustration in Keefe as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that definitely needs improving. But like you said, you need the power play opportunities to get the practice on it, right?
Exactly.
So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. All right. Moving on to the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And there was quite a bit of ugly in the last couple of weeks, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to deflect it a little bit of time, but just the last couple of games. But our ugly, both of our uglies, we chose the same thing, is yeah. the Muzzin and Hall D pairing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and actually, we got a question from one of our Facebook followers, Ferdinand Pereira, giving him a shout out for the question. And he asked us, what do we think of Hall being scratched and the new D pairings? So this basically falls into this ugly that we've chosen here. And I don't know. I don't want to answer Ferdinand's question. I don't think it's just Justin Hall, too. Like, I mean, Muzzin has looked slow
100%.
Like, since the start of the season, and not himself. But Justin Hall's effort in Chicago wasn't there. You could just see, like, I mean, he's a big guy, and to let somebody just like go right past him on one of Chicago's goals, like, or breaks, like, it was, like, it was ridiculous, basically. So he's a minus seven in seven games so far. And
actually Muzzin's even worse than that.
Yeah, he's played one extra game now. So that's what I looked at.
Minus
too.
Nine. So yeah. But
I don't know. And then, but the thing is, Justin Hall, like they mentioned on the broadcast on Saturday night, like he plays a lot of PK minutes too.
That's right.
So I don't know. I thought
our
penalty pairings,
kill has been good.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the new pairings on for just the one night were good, especially Sandin and Liljegren. Like you could tell their experience from the Marlies.
Yeah,
they're really
very comfortable
came
together.
Out.
Yes, I was going to say Liljegren is my honorable mention for my good because it's a short sample size. I didn't want to pick that, but I actually thought he played amazing last night and looked the most comfortable I've seen him so far.
And that, I think, should push Justin Hall to play better next. I think he's going to get in next game again. I think Dermott is going to be out personally against Vegas. Maybe not, but Dermott ended up being benched in the in the third period of the Wings game.
It's disappointing that when he gets an opportunity, he's not able to rise to the occasion. Because he's played great in that third pairing, and he deserved to be elevated. But when they do that, they're expecting him to do something with it. And for whatever reason, I mean, he didn't play super horrible, but he's just not rising to the occasion, which is what they need to see from him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That part's really disappointing.
Whereas the Muzzin with Brody, I thought they played okay. Like they were.
They did,
okay
but Muzzin
night, but
still made a couple of bad mistakes, still was out of position on some things. Yeah. And he seems really slow. So I'm wondering if he needs to, because he's getting a little older now, if he needs to be talking to Spezza to find out about how to switch up his off-season training to make it just. Because as you're getting older as a player, I think these things just kind of fall off a cliff for you. They don't gradually, slow down. So from one season to the next, what worked for you before maybe isn't working. So I think he might have to kind of look at that and figure out how he's going to prepare himself going forward, because maybe what he has been doing in the past is just not enough anymore. Yeah. So
either
because it seems to be like he's just slow to get
either
back
that or
in
he's
the groove.
Injured. Either that or he's injured.
Yeah,
and
but I don't.
It
doesn't sound like
he keeps
it though,
saying
from,
not.
But it doesn't sound like it from the way Keith's talking either. So I don't think that that's the case because really at this point, why are it so early in the season? Why are you shielding? Like, there's it's not like we're in a playoff series where you have to kind of hide stuff. So
that's what I thought too. But yeah. So, anyways, I guess for Justin Hall too, like at least. For me, when you're sitting in the press box, it's kind of like a different view of the game too. So maybe that'll give him the reset button to see Liljegren play so well too. Maybe that'll get the compete level up in him to basically start playing the way he can and the way we know he can. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so as we said, there's not a lot of highlight reel moments, and this was a tough one for our next segment, our highlight reel, the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. But we always manage to find something positive. So let's roll the reel.
All right. So number three in the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel is Mitch Marner. We want to give Mitch some love, and I think we already discussed it somewhat.
Some double love.
Double love. We just want him to get back to his old self, and we're starting to see some of those moments coming back. And so way to go, Mitch. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. It was nice to see him and Tavares. It looks like it's coming together again for them to be like they were a couple of seasons ago. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And then, oh my God, I'm having a blank here though. Who's on the other side, on the left side
Kerfoot.
With them? Oh, Kerfoot. No wonder. See, you always forget. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Because everybody says he's invisible. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Not
I'm
totally, like, because I think he does show up in the right spot in the right moment sometimes. So, you know, I don't know if it's like a defenseman when you don't notice him. I don't know. Probably not as good there, but
Kerfy has to step it up next time. He has to try and get on our highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Anyways, moving on to number two. Number two is Willie's OT winner versus the Hawks. Mm-hmm. I just love the swagger that guy has. It's just totally. It's oh God. And he's won just like his countrymen there, Mats, years ago. Like he loves to score goals. And I don't know. I just love it to see and scoring in OT on that breakaway. He's just such a smooth skater.
Yeah.
And he just has the shifty moves, that sort of thing. It just makes it more exciting. You know, when he's going in on a breakaway that he's going to do some things. And that was a nice OT winner goal that he had versus the Hawks.
I don't think I couldn't have said it any better myself. I don't really have much to add there, except that leads us nicely into our number one spot on the highlight reel, which of course is Austin Matthews showing so much emotion on the bench and after Willie scored in OT versus the Hawks. Like I just love to see that. Actually, I think that we could have used more of that in the playoffs last year, to be frank.
Yes.
You know, like basically the fact that he's speaking out and even speaking out on the bench, I mean, you might wonder if that led to Hall being out the next game also because he messed up on that offside there. And I love to see that.
Actually, you see, Austin Matthews has to be listening to us because we tweeted as soon as Hall made that mistake, we tweeted out Justin Hall needs to be benched. That was our tweet. And then right after that, Austin Matthews went after Justin Hall on the bench with that.
He's listening to it while they're telepathically in game. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how much power we have as fans.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So it was nice. We like that energy from
absolutely.
Austin.
We need to see more of that. So
yeah,
the more emotion they play with, the better they're going to play. Like I don't know. And I guess that comes back to what you're saying about John Tavares, too, is that, you know, how your leadership goes is how you go. And if he is the top guy and he's so quiet, then what happens to everybody who's underneath him? You know, like there is a pecking order. So you don't want to kind of, you know, go over his head in some instances. But I don't know. I was happy to see that. And if they really truly are a leadership group, then I don't think there should be anything wrong with that.
Yeah. All right. So Austin Matthews is showing the emotion, which we love. And we're going to do the same thing in our next segment, the third period. So, Syl, what do you want to talk about in the third period? This is kind of like an open discussion here. So, yeah.
So
what's your topic?
My topic is basically the Leafs' popularity with the fans, and is it waning? There's been a lot of talk recently about, you know, fan apathy, especially with the games, you know, starting with fans being allowed in, people noticing empty seats and the like, and then people wondering, does that mean that people, that fans are, you know, jumping off the bandwagon in droves? I don't know. Like, I actually kind of think that people need to recall or think about how old this franchise is and how many times in our history we have seen the building half empty. In fact, back in 92, before things got rolling with Dougie and Wendell and co, basically we were able to become subscribers because so many people jumped off the bandwagon and the building was so empty that we were able to put our name in on a waiting list and get called up right away. So this isn't the first time that it's kind of seemed that way. I do think that Leaf fans are a little bit disgruntled right now and waiting to see what happens, but you better believe that. And we've seen it time after time after time. People are going to come back once things turn around. So,
oh yeah, no, they always do. But the interesting thing, I read the article that you mentioned to me, the Toronto Star article. We included it in our show notes if the listeners want to have a look at it. But I was looking at some of the I think the age group of the fans has a lot to do with it, too. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, I mean, it's been 17 years since they've won the playoff series. So,
yeah,
that's like a long time.
There's like a whole generation
who's
yes. never seen it.
Yeah. They've never seen the Leafs win, right? So yeah. I can understand, obviously, their frustration totally. Whereas we've, mm-hmm. we lived through, obviously, one of the greatest times to be a Leaf fan. We didn't get to the finals, but we should have, mm-hmm. even though Wayne Gretzky screwed us over, basically. But yes, yeah, so I think that has a lot to do with it. And I just also think it kind of ties into what my third period is subject with the social media. It kind of ties in with it. It's like I remember listening to the radio in 1981, March 19, 1981. I actually could pick it out I Googled it because mm-hmm. I knew it was the Leafs versus Buffalo and they lost. The Leafs lost 14-4. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid, I was listening to it on the radio because at that time, not all the games were on TV in 1981. And I, like, obviously that was a traumatic experience for me because I remember the score. And because I was actually surprised that I could find it when I Googled it. Mm-hmm. I put 14-4 and I put Toronto Maple Leafs and it came up and it reminded me it was the Sabres. I thought there was possibilities Boston. But to me, like those years in the 80s, those were the worst. Like
They have no idea.
These fans have no idea.
Yeah.
But dedicated as we were at that time, mm-hmm. I listened to that whole game, all 14 goals that the Sabres got. I stayed there through to the third period. And that's just because obviously we're diehard fans. So, this is nothing. Like this is... It's probably a hangover, like the way they're saying from that loss to Montreal, because they were devastated in losing in that way and to that opponent, obviously. And they don't want to lose. Like, we know that. Like, the team, like the players, they want to win. They're giving it their all. But they do want to win. But I have to say, too, like, on their side, a lot has been given to them.
It has. And I do think part of the problem is now all fan bases are so, so focused, but no more so than here in Toronto on the dollars these players are being given. And that was not the case back in the 80s. Like we never knew what everybody was making or whether or not, you know, they were fulfilling their contract obligations by the way they play. Like, so it's, I do think that we tend to like our lunch bucket kind of players here, but at the time, you know, we didn't necessarily know who was getting the most. So maybe if we did, we'd be like, you know, maybe Wendell was making the most and we would be, you know, PO'd that, you know, if he didn't score for a few games in a row or whatever, although Wendell always, always showed up. So that was probably a bad example, but you get what I'm saying.
Is still, that I think there would have been times where maybe he had an off night or whatever. Yeah. And we would have. But I mean, some of the comments that the fans now, like they're saying, one comment I read on Twitter was trading Morgan Riley for Carlton the Bear.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we can't because, well, I guess they still could trade him this year, but next year they can't trade him for anybody because he's got no move. So,
yeah. And I mean, and trading Marner to Arizona for Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Like that's those are ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I mean,
yeah, but on. those are not real takes. They're like,
well, just this is thing.
Thrown out, you know, there for effect.
Because think
people are going to respond to that. However,
I think they're Hab fans. I do. I think they're disguising themselves.
Yeah.
As Leaf fans and they're making these ridiculous comments just to get us going. But
anybody can have a burner phone these days. So, or a burner account.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
one other thing I want to mention, though, too, just to do with Freddie Anderson, going back to him and that game with Carolina. I mean, I was happy that, I mean, we didn't play well that night, obviously. But personally, I think he gave the goal to Matthews.
behind the net.
I think so. I think they planned it.
I don't think so. I do not think so.
But he's still undefeated, at least. Up until now, Sunday, they're playing tonight, Carolina. So we'll see how it happens. But So obviously the fans out there who thought that Freddie Andersen was the problem, he's doing quite fine in Carolina. So he can't, yeah. And it's the start of the season too. So normally he's always slow out of the gate, but he seems to be doing, okay.
Mentally though, you know, you got to wonder what a season like that for him did to his mental focus. I mean, he's got something huge to prove. So maybe it lit up something under him differently than in past off seasons. So, I mean, obviously that left a sour taste in his mouth. So I can only imagine that he, you know, used it to his advantage this summer in the way he prepared. Yeah. So,
although I have to say, I am getting tired of hearing about him and Zach Hyman.
Yeah, really.
And all the success they're having. It's great that they're having success, but it's just like, I just want to
enough already.
Talk about our team, about our Leafs. We'll be good. Yeah. So what's coming up the next couple of weeks?
So the next couple of weeks, it's going to be pretty busy for the Leafs with games almost every other night. This week we have Vegas and then Tampa and Boston, which I think are going to be our tougher games. Although Tampa for sure, yes, especially because they're sort of in the same boat with us and we're kind of neck and neck with them at the moment. They have not had a great start either, but they've got all the talent in the world and an all-world goalie. So we know that's not going to be an easy out. Boston, I don't know about them. You know, I think if anything, it'll be a mentally tough game, but really they're not doing so hot right now. I think they're beatable. So, but
I'm looking forward demons to, with I'm, that. For that, I'm looking forward to the Marchand and Bunting. If they can get on the ice at the same time, that's going to be good.
Yeah. And there's also a back-to-back in there playing Calgary next Friday and then Buffalo on the Saturday night. I really hope we beat Buffalo because this has got to be some kind of weird apparition, what's going on with them. But maybe they're taking something from the whole Eichel thing, you know, that no one gives them any credit and, you know, they're you know, putting their best foot forward. It's amazing how being pissed off at something can really help you elevate. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I was talking about that with my nephew, actually. We were just saying, like, being, like, you can be pissed off to the point where you're not, like, Jordan Binnington the other night, like, swinging a stick at Kadri. Yeah. It was insane. you don't go that far, but you can be pissed off and change, like, just change the, I guess, the mentality of the group in a way to be a positive in the game. So,
well, I just think that it just takes one or two people to get pissed and elevate, like we saw with Matthews the other night.
Yeah.
And then other people will follow suit because that's an energy that catches, you know?
Yeah. And it was also Simmons there, apparently, that was the one that said the words in the dressing room, which I was happy to hear that too, because it's, being a good Scarborough boy that he is.
That's right.
Yeah. So, what are you looking forward to seeing from the team, I guess, over the next couple of weeks?
I just want to see more of the same. I want to see more of that energy. I want to see them, you know, getting some more of those ugly goals, and I want to see them kind of building on it and kind of, I want to see a little bit of improvement from game to game to game. So
And that's what they've been doing the last couple of games, and I want to also see a commitment to the team defense. They got to get it going that way. They got to solidify that part of their game a little bit over the next couple of weeks, and they definitely need to do something with this power play. With that number one power play, they got to get it going somehow. Because it's just ridiculous the way it is right now. It shouldn't be as poor as it is right now. So so we're going into the second month of the regular season, and Morgan Rielly is going to be a Leaf for quite some time, and nobody is going to get fired. He said that we've been talking about for our Leafs Nation has been talking about that the last little bit. So
one's getting fired. Seeing how happy everybody was for Morgan Rielly signing, I love to see that. And I think that's also something, you know, this guy is committed to the team and that should also give them some stability, because basically they've been kind of losing their friends for nothing over the last few years. So now they've got this guy who has made a commitment long term, and I'm hoping that also does something.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, it was nice to see it after practice there where they all they announced it.
That's I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have any thoughts on what we talked about on the show today, please DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And be sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917.
And another way to connect with us is at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can also support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, thank you to our healthcare workers and everything that they do. Thank you for listening. And please follow or subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. And we also are available on YouTube now. So
that's
we have a
right.
YouTube channel. If you can, listen to the show there too, and follow us and like the show too.
Yes, definitely. So stay safe and well, everybody. And we'll be back again in another couple of weeks. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.